Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. We had a little bit of a crammed, well, I don't know if I can say crammed, but busy last week. I recorded a little bit for the 250s and just wasn't able to get around to the 450s for a Hangtown recap. I wish I still would have put the 251 out because I'm not just saying this because it didn't go out, but I think I was pretty correct on Chance Hymus in his Thunder Valley. But this week, of course, we have the 450s going first. I think they did that because they had the middle window for the 250 Moto 1 and 450 Moto 2. They had that on big NBC, so I think they wanted the big winner of the 450s to be seen on NBC, but I'm not sure why they wouldn't just do Moto 2s for both classes, but NBC and Peacock and all them have made some questionable decisions before about how they cover the sport of motocross. But anyway, getting into it, first thing to note, Thunder Valley, high elevation, Eli Tomac's home track, statistically not always his best track. He's had some problems at Thunder Valley, at the Denver Supercross, so the state of Colorado hasn't always been as nice to Eli Tomac as maybe it should be in his pro career. But his teammate, Justin Cooper, qualified fastest with a 210.829 right in front of, well, not right in front of, just over a whole second faster than the Cowboy. Aaron Plessinger ran a 212.007, and in third was the hometown guy, Eli Tomac, qualified third, about half a second behind Plessinger. And then a full second back from that was Jet Lawrence. Now, very interesting to not see Jet Lawrence on top of the board for qualifying. Obviously, we all know his raw speed that he's got. But, yeah, it was very interesting for Justin Cooper to be the fastest qualifier. I know he had quite a few fastest qualifiers when he was down in the 250 class. He just hasn't been able to do it very much in the 450 class, mainly because of that guy named Jet Lawrence. So yeah, very interesting. Jet Lawrence qualifying fourth, and rounding out the top five was Hunter Lawrence, and all the way down in 11th is the new man to the series, Jorge Prado, with a 217. He was 6.6 seconds behind Justin Cooper. I've heard some rumblings that he's not exactly the happiest at Kawasaki. He has been on the Austrian KTM brand for a long, long time. He was on a KTM, and then he went to a... He was on KTM, and then he went to a Gas when he was ending his MXGP career. He ended on a Gas. He came over last year, raced those handful of Supercross races on a Gas. Comes over here, completely different bike, not even the same, under the same umbrella, in the same group as his previous two have been. I saw videos he used to do on the start. He used to go 1 foot on the peg, on a foot peg, 1 foot on the ground. He's changed to now 2 feet on the ground. So Jorge Prado searching very, very hard, it seems like, for some solutions to his problems, because he came over a good starter, hasn't really gotten too many of them good starts, and has really just struggled overall here. We know he got hurt at round 3 of Supercross. I think it was Anaheim 2. He got hurt, put him out the rest of Supercross, came back. His own words, he said he expects, he's coming into this series expecting to win, and really he hasn't been too close. So now getting into 450 moto number one, a very, very common sight. The two Lawrence brothers up there early. Hunter was the one who technically grabbed the hole shot. Aaron Plessinger, he was very aggressive early in this race. He was aggressive in the middle, and he was pretty solid. He was showing why he was the second fastest qualifier. He got out there, had a good start, was all over Jet Lawrence once he was able to make the once he was able to make a move around Hunter Lawrence to get into second, he pushed Jet, maybe you could say, into a slight mistake. I'm not sure. Maybe Jet kind of went out there to figure out some lines, but we'll get to that when we get to that. 10 minutes in, Eli was all over Hunter Lawrence and Jet. Wait just a second. We got to take a break here. I think I got something a little messed up here. Okay, we are back. Eli was all over Hunter. That made pushed Hunter to make a pass on AP right after the finish line. Not for too long, because once again, Plessinger was able to get back around Hunter, got right back up on the rear wheel of Jet, and then coming downhill, Plessinger had the inside line, and Jet just cruised around the outside, and Plessinger was able to make a pass, but then shortly after that, the exact opposite happened, where going downhill, different downhill section, Jet had the inside, was able to cut off Aaron Plessinger's line and re-grab the lead from the cowboy Aaron Plessinger. And it was them two battling up front for a good part of the race. Plessinger really showed maybe a little bit more fight and aggression than I think maybe we have seen from him ever in this 450 class. He's definitely getting the speed. Now, it could just be could have just been a track and situation. I'm not sure. Maybe Jet was feeling the elevation maybe a little bit more than Plessinger was, but Jet goes out, wins. Not very surprising there. Hunter Lawrence was running in third place. Last lap, tips it over. Tomac gets by to round out the podium, and Hunter slides off to fourth place. So we had Jet, Plessinger, Tomac is our podium. Fastest qualifier, Justin Cooper, in fifth place. And the guy I talked about earlier, Jorge Prado, all the way down there in eighth place, searching. He is searching for something, obviously. 450 moto number two now. We had Cody Shock grab the... I feel like I just yelled his name. We had Cody Shock, there they are, grab the hole shot. And Cooper Webb was up there. Best start we've seen from Cooper Webb this motocross season. He was in second. And then Hunter in third, Jet in fifth, and Tomac was all the way down in 14th place on lap number one. Eli Tomac starts. He seems like he's always coming from behind. It has cost him multiple times so far this season already in just the three races, six motos that we've had. Starts have kind of been an absolute killer for Eli Tomac. But Aaron Plessinger, who finished second, was also way down there. Maybe not way down there, but definitely did not get as good of a start as he got in moto number one. We had Prado was up there as well. Plessinger was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about eighth place. Just a couple spots behind Jetson and Hunter and Cooper Webb. Had the big battle for first, just for, not for super long, but Cooper was able to cut inside of Hunter for first place. Justin Cooper was throwing his, or no, that was Cooper. Justin Cooper, not Cooper Webb. I think I was saying Cooper Webb. Once again, flipping Cooper, Justin Cooper, Cooper Webb, all that. Same team. Throws me off. Just threw me off right now. Justin Cooper was able to get to the lead very, very shortly. Where are we? Big step up triple. Justin Cooper railed around the outside and then, hang on a minute. Yeah, and then that's where he got all his speed, momentum, and then going downhill was able to get inside right before the mechanics area and really just throw a front wheel in there on old Hunter. Second moto was a lot of an Eli Tomac show. He was cutting all over the place. He cut across the track. Not skipping track, but he was using the entire track to get past AP for fourth. And then one lap later, he did the same thing to Hunter Lawrence to get third. And then he went flying downhill to get past Justin Cooper for second. And then he had the gap to Jet Lawrence was just kind of doing his thing out front, you know, putting in his laps. He had the gap all the way down to 1.8 near the end of the race. He was right behind Jet. It was definitely closer than 1.8, but it was one on timing and scoring. It said 1.8 when he went down, but it was about two bike lengths going into the turn. And Eli Tomac just kind of looked like his front end just kind of pushed out of the rut and went flipped over the bars, lost 8 seconds, and the race pretty much. Even if he would have gotten past Jet still would have been able to get the overall with Tomac getting third in moto number one. So yeah, Jet Lawrence goes 1-1. Nothing new here for the 450 class. Eli Tomac second in Moto 2. Justin Cooper third. And then Hunter Lawrence and Aaron Plessinger for our top five here in Moto number 2. Overalls, we had Jet, like I said, with just another 1-1. Eli Tomac 3-2. And then Plessinger, the not very great start in moto number 2 kind of killed him. He ended up going 2-5 for third overall. And since we kind of been talking about him, Jorge Prado gets an 8 in moto number 1, and then he goes out and has a DNF in moto number 2 with a 39th place. Jorge Prado, has he said anything? It does not look like he has said what happened. I'm not exactly sure what happened with old Jorge, but he did pull out of the race. Race Kawasaki, did they have anything to say? No, does not look like they had anything either. So, yeah, no update on Jorge Prado. I can't really remember off the top of my head. I don't think he had a big crash or anything. But, yeah, didn't finish Moto number 2. 450 points. Probably could have had that pulled up before I started this. Standings. Jet Lawrence, 145 points, just 5 points off of the max possible points. Eli Tomac in second with 120, so 25 back. There's already a full moto gap. Plessinger is 27 back. And Justin Cooper is, holy math, 45, was it 113, 32 back. So, hey, makes sense. Justin Cooper, 32 points back, number 32. And then Hunter Lawrence rounds out our top five for our points. There's a lot of talk with SMX points. I know Cooper Webb's still in the lead with that. There's a chance that Justin Cooper or even Aaron Plessinger are able to take over that top seed for the SMX points with how much more they excel outdoors than Cooper Webb. I don't really think there's a chance Jet or Eli or Hunter Lawrence would be able to catch up to him because they missed a lot of racing. I was going to say especially Jet, but then you can just go down the line and say especially Jet, especially Eli, especially Hunter. They've all been out and missed a lot of Supercross races, so I don't think there's a chance that they will be able to get to the first overall seed for the SMX. But if there's anyone who could do it, it would be Jet, and things would just somehow, everything would just somehow fall his way. He'd go in with the 25 points already, and then probably just going to go out there and go 1-1 in all three rounds, and I would not be surprised at that whatsoever, but we'll worry about that little series when we get to that little series. Okay, 450, big takeaway time. Starts. The starts are the first on the list here. Every week, it seems like we see the two red bikes out there in front, the two Lawrence brothers. They're consistently starting the best. And for Jet Lawrence, it shows he is leading the championship. Hunter Lawrence, very... Okay, that got jacked up for a second. Hunter Lawrence has been very, very consistent, I should say, is probably the best word to put it. So far this season, he is 3-5-5. You know he's going to figure it out, and he's going to end up getting more podiums. It comes with his starts. Eli Tomac, on the other hand, yes, he has finished overall, 2 Fox Raceway, 4 Hangtown, and then 2 in Thunder Valley. But a lot of the time, it seems like he's coming from the back. Or maybe not the back, but he's coming from anywhere from 5 to 10. And by the time he gets to second, Jet's already been able to build a gap. Eli's had to work very, very hard to get around all the other guys. So it's going to be interesting when we look at starts and what all Eli can change. I thought maybe he would have been pretty close in starts this week with just how much power he has. And then at altitude, I thought maybe that would give him a little bit of an advantage for the starts this week. Went a little blank in my brain there and forgot where I was going exactly. The next one is the altitude. Didn't seem like the altitude really hindered people too much. Like, it didn't seem like guys were kind of falling off towards the end of the moto. It seemed like it was a pretty consistent pace. I know, especially coming off of two very hot races that they had at Hangtown, thought maybe there'd be some lingering effects from that, and then maybe the altitude would be able to play a little bit bigger of a deal in it. Once again, I thought Eli Tomac would have had maybe a little bit of an advantage with that, with constantly living and training in Colorado. And I guess where he lives and trains, it is a higher altitude than what they race at in Thunder Valley. And then I have one last one in my mind, but I can't think of it. I forgot to write the last one down, but we can make it Jorge Prado. Pretty much just like what I talked about earlier. Jorge Prado came over and he is struggling big time. I mentioned it, I think, in the first recap for the Pro Motocross season. The entire schedule, I'm pretty sure I did it for the preview as well. The entire schedule over here is different. Everything is one day unless you get press day. He's got to learn all these new tracks very quickly. He's got to learn a whole new bike, team, language, barrier, sort of. He's got pretty solid English, but still there's a little bit of it's a second language. Just everything is completely different from him. Over for the MXGP series, they have qualifying on Saturday. They have qualifying races. Their qualifying races are points paying races, so that makes that even bigger there. And here it's, you get one day on the track, or one morning on the track, a couple qualifying sessions, and then it's just straight up go time, and it is as fast as you can for 30 minutes plus two laps. Not really too much of a feeling out time with the track. So I think you notice it a lot with Tom Vielle when he came over a couple years ago. And then in his second year and now into his third year, it seems like maybe he's starting to understand tracks and whatnot a little bit better. And so it'll be interesting to see how Jorge Prado is able to progress in the next couple years coming up. So now we got 250s, and we got something different to talk about in the 250s. Chance Hymus, your fastest qualifier, that's not the something different. He did that round one. Deegan was the fastest qualifier in Hangtown. Chance Hymus comes back, runs a 215.861. 1.1 seconds over Deegan, who ran a 216.9, and then Ty Masterpool with a 217.0. For third, we had all the Kawasaki's pretty much here, third through fifth. One that did kind of surprise me, a little bit more just because it was at elevation, Garrett Marchbanks, He's a bigger guy for the 250. So a little bit taller, a little bit heavier. Thought maybe that won't, definitely doesn't help the bike being down on power already when you got, when you put the big boy up there. But he qualified fourth with a 217.5. And then he went out in Moto 1, had a very, very quiet third place finish for Garrett Marchbanks. Didn't even get the interview because it was on big NBC and they only talked to the first and second place guys, so that sucked. But anyway, Levi Kitchen rounds out our top five here in qualifying. And something I just talked about a little bit in the 450s with Jorge Prado and Tom Viel. Tom Viel qualified down in 13th with a 219.9, 4 seconds behind Chance Hymus. So that was very, very interesting to see Tom Viel all the way down there. And Joe Shimoda in 9th with a 219.1, 3.2 seconds behind your fastest qualifier of Chance Hymus. And Chance Hymus did not let the speed stop for just qualifying, but he carried that over into Moto 1, and spoiler, he did it into Moto 2 as well. Just like I said in qualifying, Chance Hymus, fastest qualifier, he started it off fast in the motos as well. He pulled the whole shot, and he had none other than Tom Viel right behind him in second. But Deegan was able to get around Tom Viel to get into second right before the mechanics area. And one of the big surprises off the start was the new guy over from the MXGP series, Mikel Harup, I think is how you, Harup? Mikel Harup, I believe is how you say his name, riding for the Triumph Factory Racing team. He was running pretty solid up front for a good portion of the race. He was up in third place at one point. Master Pool was able to get around him. And all while this, Hayden Deegan, Chance Hymus, there it is. Chance Hymus was able to start pulling away. And I said in the last week's episode that I recorded 250s but wasn't able to get a 450 portion recorded. I said going into Thunder Valley, he is pretty strong in Thunder Valley. And he got a moto win there last week. Might be able to surprise some people this week. And I think that's exactly what he did. He definitely surprised a bunch of people, I do believe. Deegan, for sure, was definitely one of them, because there was a point Chance Hymus had a strong, very consistent, about 2.5 second gap over everybody. And then it got to the point where Deegan started to catch him a little bit, started to put a little bit of pressure on him, and Deegan just overrode his bike, started to maybe burn up the clutch, is the big assumption of what happened with Deegan's bike, because he started to have quite a bit of smoke come out of that thing with about 6 minutes left. And then probably about 4.5-ish minutes left, Deegan's mechanic, I think it's Brent Duffy, wrote on his pit board, off the clutch, save the bike. And so that's exactly what Deegan had to do for the last handful of laps. He couldn't put in as fast of laps as he wanted to do. And it really showed, because Chance Hymus ended up, was able to then pull away pretty easily, pretty solidly. And Garrett Marchbanks was in third, about 45 to 50 seconds back of Deegan and Hymus when Deegan first started having to back it off a little bit. And Garrett Marchbanks ended up finishing right behind Hayden Deegan. Chance Hymus ended up winning by 45 seconds due to that. And I honestly, I don't think Deegan was going to be able to make a pass stick and pull away from Chance Hymus like he's been able to do pretty much all season long to whoever he made a pass for first place on. Chance Hymus was just riding great. And it did seem like once Deegan started catching him, Chance Hymus kind of turned it up a little bit. And then that's Deegan lost a little bit of time, maintained that gap, and then he ended up sliding all the way back with his bike issues that he had. Like I mentioned, finishing 45 seconds back. One very notable thing to look at here is Levi Kitchen in 8th place. He seems like he's either 3rd or he is around 8 to 10, which is exactly what has happened so far this season. Round 1, he went 10, and then a DNF. Round 2, I believe he went 3-3 for 3rd overall in Hangtown. Oh, we got a stupid ad. Yeah, Levi Kitchen went 3-3 for 3rd overall in Hangtown. And then back down to the 8 to 10 range here in Moto number 1 with an 8th place. And something else very interesting that I noticed, Joe Shimoda was 2nd place in every single Moto so far this season. And he ended up finishing this 250 Moto 1 back in 9th place. So he definitely had his fair share of struggles. I don't think you can put it on the bike with the altitude, considering his teammate is on, essentially the exact same bike, and he went out there and absolutely dominated. So Joe Shimoda, I think he had a little bit more fight in him in Moto number 2. He got a much better start. He did get a very poor start in this 250 Moto number 1. He was able to get a better start and turn some things around. Drew Adams rounds out our top 5. I do believe that is his first, even though it's just a Moto top 5, it is still his first career top 5 so far. So yeah, Kawasaki's seems like when there's one, you'll get 3 of them. Because it went Marchbanks, Masterpool, Drew Adams, 3, 4, 5, just like that. And Tom Viel, he just struggled. Like I mentioned earlier, he was 2nd across the whole shot line, ended up finishing in 6th. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see what changes Tom Viel is going to have to make to contend for wins. Because, at this point, this championship is just completely slipping out of his hands already. I don't really know exactly what to say else here for this 250 Moto number 1. Nothing else really sticks out in my mind that is for sure. So now 250 Moto number 2, just like how it started up front in Moto 1, that's exactly how it started again in Moto 2. Not as much action here in 250 Moto number 2. Hymus grabbed the whole shot. Deegan was 2nd, and Tom Viel was now in 3rd. He was able to make a quick move on Deegan to get to 2nd for probably about 100 feet. And then he made a little mistake and went back to 3rd. And Shimoda had a much, much better start to moto number two, was running in fourth place pretty much the entire way. Levi Kitchen was able to make a move around the outside of VL to right before the hole shot line, going in the first corner. Kitchen just railed around the outside, was able to get past VL for third place. And then there was a point where he was, or no, for that was for fourth place, excuse me. Joe Shimoda was in third place, and Levi Kitchen with an eighth place need to make a pass on Joe Shimoda here for third place in this moto to be on the overall podium. And it is exactly what he did. Got to the top of the hill, ran around the outside, looked like Joe Shimoda maybe popped out of the rut a little bit earlier than expected, made a little mistake coming out of that rut, and Kitchen was just able to carry more speed and momentum, and no bobbles, really, is what got Levi Kitchen the pass for a third to get him onto the overall podium. Another thing that I noticed here in moto number two was Hayden Deegan was not gaining like normal. He had the gap at about, it was about 4 seconds, and he just wasn't able to really do anything about Chance Hymus and the speed that Chance Hymus was running. So yeah, Deegan not able to close down on Chance like he was able to do a little bit in moto number one until his bike mistake. And then Deegan did end up going down, and that gap went from 4 seconds, around 4 seconds at least, to around 8 seconds, and that is basically where it finished. Hymus and Deegan were the only two to have their fastest laps in the 2:11 range. Hymus's was a 2/10 faster, ran a 2:11.112, and Deegan with a 2:11.334. And Levi Kitchen, who was making a lot of passes, his fastest lap was still only a 2:16. I see nobody else in from 2:11 to 2:13. So the next fastest guy on the track was Joe Shimoda. He ran a 2:14. And yeah, Hymus was just able to, he really just put the beat down on everybody this weekend. He had a perfect weekend. Fastest qualifier, hole shot, Moto 1, Moto 1 win, hole shot, Moto 2, Moto 2 win. So we went 1-1 for first overall. Deegan was taking over that Joe Shimoda spot by going 2-2 for second overall. And the insane Levi Kitchen was able to go 8-3 for third overall, tying in points with Garrett Marchbanks, who went 3-8. So if Marchbanks was just able to go 3-7, then he would have been able to get on that overall podium. But yeah, Levi Kitchen somehow able to make his way onto the overall podium with a less than impressive 8th place Moto 1 finish. So yeah, big shout out to Levi Kitchen, able to make a little something out of absolutely nothing, pretty much. Joe Shimoda, I mentioned him earlier. Talk about a little less than impressive ride. He went 9-4 for 6th overall. I mean, 6th overall, when you look at who finished in front of him, Hymus, Deegan, Kitchen, Marchbanks might be the only iffy one on that list, and then Tom Viel in 5th place. I mean, it's not like he got beat by a bunch of like privateers or first year guys, but the way Joe Shimoda's opened up this season, finally getting good starts to the season, good starts in most races, he just didn't have it here in Thunder Valley, going 9-4 for 6th overall. 250 big takeaway times. First one is Chance Hymus and Thunder Valley. There's just something about Thunder Valley that I think Chance Hymus really gets along with. He got his second career win here now. First one did come Red Bud last year, but he got last year in Thunder Valley. He was able to get his first career moto win. He finished second overall. He went 4-1 last year for second overall. So there's just something about Thunder Valley that young Chance Hymus really likes, I guess. Big takeaway number two, Hayden Deegan and overriding his bike. I mentioned it earlier for Moto 1. Do I think he was going to be able to make a pass and make it stick on Chance Hymus? No. But we never really got to see the chance because he would he was just overriding it, using the clutch a little bit too much. Maybe that time he spent with Eli Tomac this offseason in Colorado might not have helped in all the right ways, because that was like a young Eli Tomac burning up a clutch and putting that sucker at the absolute rev limiter. So he kind of blew up his bike almost in moto number one, got back to behind the podium, and I saw a video of him pretty upset. He was told, I guess, that it was his fault, and he was told it wasn't his fault, or maybe flip-flopped the other way around. Maybe he was told it wasn't his fault, and then he was told it was his fault. I'm not sure. They never really said exactly what happened, but I'm just going to assume it probably was his fault if it was the clutch, and he was just overriding it. And then in moto number two, it seemed like he got maybe a little too aggressive and excited. I was looking for the crash on the Pro Motocross Twitter page, and they did not post it, actually. We'll see if anybody has the video from his, nope, that is Red Bud latest. That's probably what we need. And no. Okay. Yeah, I can't find anything, but I cannot remember exactly how he went down or where he went down, but I'm pretty sure it was just him just kind of overriding the bike. I did forget also in moto number one, he did go off the Deganesses, went off the track, went through a banner, and was not running at a very coast type of speed. It looked like he hammered it maybe a little bit too much there. Going back onto the track, but yeah, just mistake in moto number one, overriding the bike, mistake in moto number two, overriding it and then going down. And then my third big takeaway is starts. It has shown so much so far in this 250 class in basically every single moto. I mean, this week we had Chance Hymus going out, pulling two whole shots, and then ended up winning both races. Hangtown, Hymus went out. He pulled the whole shot in moto number one. Ended up not having the best of motos, with sliding back, with food poisoning and all that. But then moto number two, Deegan got a good jump. He was P2, goes on to win that. Fox Raceway, maybe a little not so much in Moto 1, but Moto 2, Deegan P3 goes on to win that Moto as well. So yeah, starts in this 250 class have proven to be the absolute backbone, it seems like, of how your race will end up. If you can start top five, there's a good chance you'll have a shot at winning. If you start outside the top five, so far you haven't won a race. So very, very interesting. Levi Kitchen, he's going to have to clean that up a little bit because he has definitely struggled off his starts. Joe Shimoda struggled in Thunder Valley, but so far this year he's been pretty consistent. And then Tom Viel has, I think, really been the only one who has started up there who hasn't been able to really fight for a Moto win. So that'll be very interesting, especially with how good of a starter that Tom Viel is. I mean, he was, what was it? Why'd I get rid of the notes here? Viel, third in Moto 2, across the line. And Moto 1, he was second, and then he drifted back Moto 1 to 6 and Moto 2 to 5. So, yeah, very, very, very interesting. 250 points. That is not 250. We need, here we are. Hayden Deegan, 144 up top. Joe Shimoda in second. Like I said, he was consistently second every single time. He is now 25 points back, a whole moto difference. And then in third place, a little bit of a surprise, Garrett Marchbanks, 45 points back. Chance Hymus is 48 points back from that. And then Levi Kitchen, Tom Viel, they are separated by 1 point, and they are 58 and 59 points back. They are over a full days of racing, so they are definitely going to have to figure something out. I think they got one, maybe two more weeks to figure out this whole Deegan problem that they're having if they want to be able to contend for a championship, because right now Deegan is absolutely running away with it up top. I mean, like I said, his closest guy, Joe Shimoda, is now currently a full moto behind, 25 points behind him. Looking forward to High Point, time to make some predictions. Where we'll go back to the 250s first, because that is how they will be running them once again in High Point. Last year, your 250 winner was Ty Masterpool with a 2-1. Deegan went 1-2. Chance Hymus, 4-3. I mean, the smart thing to do would be put it on Deegan to have a solid bounce back race. I think that will be what happens. Undefeated streak is now over. Chance at 22-0 is now gone, done. Doesn't have to worry about that anymore. And I think coming back a little bit more east here in Pennsylvania, I think that'll suit him pretty solid. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Joe Shimoda back up to where he's been all year. But yeah, I think Hayden Deegan will end up winning this week again. 450s, Jet Lawrence last year went 1-1. Shocker, he entered a race and he went 1-1. But I got a little sneaky one. I think Aaron Plessinger coming back to the ruts, like I mentioned, coming back east. He showed some fight last week. I think he will definitely be looking to show a little bit more fight this week. I think he can go out there, grab a moto win, that elusive moto win. It's going to be a wet one. He's pretty solid in the rain, in the mud and all that. But I don't know. I don't know if he will win the overall. I think I just said he will win the overall, and then I said I think he'll get at least a moto win. Honestly, I'm tired of picking Jet Lawrence to win these overalls. I want to make it interesting. So honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Aaron Plessinger or Eli Tomac. I'm making two predictions because I can, and nobody is here to tell me I can only pick one. So mine are AP the Cowboy, Aaron Plessinger, and Eli Tomac. I can't remember if we've seen Jet Lawrence in a mud race in motocross yet. I don't know why that's totally blank in my mind, but I don't think we've seen a mud race from Jet yet. So yeah, give me Plessinger or give me Tomac. Yeah, I think that'll wrap us up here. Talking underscore moto on X. Go give it a like, go give it a follow, retweet, comment, anything. Up to you. Obviously, I would greatly appreciate it. So yeah, go talking underscore moto on X. Happy I was able to get a full show in this week. Still wish I would have released just the 250s from Hangtown. I was thinking about putting that on the front part of this show, but then I was like, basically you can just go back and listen to Fox Raceway 250 recap. It's pretty much the same with Deegan going 1-1, Shimoda going 2-2, so nothing too crazy. Happy to be back, full show, talking underscore moto on X. We will be back to talk about, honestly, hopefully a mud race from High Point. Not sure if I'll be able to watch it live. Might be go riding myself. So if anything, hopefully I'll be able to watch it Saturday night. And I might even say screw it and just live tweet while I watch it as if it's going on live. We'll be back next week for the High Point recap. See ya.